You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 16th of January 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to have a look at universities pushing political correctness and an apparent push back against it from Rishi Sunak's government of all groups to be seen to be pushing back against this. And this is in response to a study that's been carried out looking at Britain's universities. More than half of Britain's universities are peddling controversial and radical woke ideologies on students, a damning league table has revealed. And of course, the mainstream narrative is that it's the controversial narrative to be pointing out that biological men are biological men, and that you cannot actually change from a man into a woman, simply because biologically you cannot change your biology, you cannot change your chromosomes. Yet if you look at what is being promoted on the BBC and in these mainstream universities, they are promoting this idea that anybody that goes up against this is some kind of radical, some kind of extremist. And yet you still have newspapers like the Daily Mail that are pointing out that in actual fact, it's the people on the left that are coming out with these controversial views. But if all you were to do is to watch something like the BBC, you would believe that it was the other way around. Some of the nation's most prestigious institutions are poisoning the minds of generations to come, critics said last night, by subjecting undergraduates and academics to trigger warnings and guidance on white privilege. And this is the other thing. It's all this promotion of white guilt, telling white people they need to feel guilty for their ancestors and that whatever they have is not the product of hard work, but they were just handed it all on a plate because they happen to be white. And then you get all of this anti-racism training, which is effectively telling white people that they should not be doing things for the benefit of their own people group. They should be doing things for the benefit of other people groups. And it's only white people that are told this. Chinese aren't told that they need to be doing what they can for the Indians, for instance. It's just white people that are told they need to be doing all they can for these other people groups. They need to be making way for diversity. They need to be ensuring that there is more representation of Afro-Caribbeans in the boardroom if they happen to run a company. All this sort of thing. If they're employing people, they need to be trying to employ more blacks and non-whites, particularly if you're in the police or you're in the fire brigade, things like that. We've even seen adverts saying this is targeted at non-whites. If you're white, then don't bother applying because we're not going to give the job to you. And it's only white people that are being told this. And all of that goes under this this covering name of anti-racism. And then, of course, they will say, well, are you an anti-racist? If you're not an anti-racist, that means you're a racist. Effectively, it just means to be anti-racist just means to be not doing things for your own people group, but to be doing things for other people groups, which is maladaptive, which is just crazy that we've gone along with this. It's the equivalent of self-harm. And as I've been pointing out for a long time now, this originates in the universities. It makes its way from the universities into the colleges, into the schools. The majority of school teachers are extreme left-wing ideologues. If you're at university, and just if you happen to have a conservative viewpoint, most people are too frightened to actually speak their viewpoint, let alone having a nationalist viewpoint. I mean, it's just simple centre-right conservatives that are too frightened to speak up. And this is in the top universities. That's what they're pointing out here. Elite Russell Group universities dominate the table, accounting for 8 out of the top 10 spots. Cambridge and Oxford came first and second, having introduced unconscious bias and race workshops for freshers, followed by the University of Bristol, which has outlawed words such as mankind to avoid causing offence. So everybody that goes to this university has to go on this training. If they don't go on this training, they can't get into the university. So they have to go into this indoctrination, all about unconscious bias, telling them that because they can't find any overt racism amongst white people, then there must be this unconscious racism that is going on there. It can't possibly be that different people groups are different and have different things that they're good at and different things that they're bad at. It has to be that if there are any differences that are negative for these other groups, they must have been caused by white people. Of course, differences that happen to be positive for these people groups, such as being faster at running, being better at basketball if you're black, or if you're Chinese, being better at remembering things, better at computers, all of these things, it can't just be just because there's naturally a difference between groups. It has to be because of white oppression. Of course, not in the case with the Chinese, who happen to do better than whites at some things, and they have a slightly higher IQ, and they don't really complain about that. But you would think that if everybody was equal, that then white people would be complaining about this discrimination against the Chinese, which means that the Chinese do better. And of course, that doesn't happen, does it? And you could say, if they say that the reason why there's more black people in prison, or the reason why they don't do so well at work, is because the white people discriminate against them, then why doesn't the same happen for the Chinese, for the Asians? Of course, I'm talking about Asians in the American sense there, not Asians as in the strange British sense of meaning Muslims. So why is it that this discrimination only occurs against blacks and non-whites? So the reason is that it's not discrimination. The fact of the matter is that there are statistical differences on average between people groups, and those statistically different averages result in different life outcomes for these groups. If you have a lower average IQ, then that is going to predict that you're not going to do so well at university. But they don't admit that. What they will say is that there is this discrimination that's going on in the universities. That's why the non-white groups don't do so well at universities. So we have to eliminate this discrimination. And since we can't find any overt discrimination, it must be down to unconscious bias. So we'll have to have everybody going through a workshop in unconscious bias before they can even join the university. The findings were slammed as disturbing by free speech campaigners and MPs, who say a dark shadow of political correctness has now fallen after our most sought after universities. I wonder which MPs are saying that, and whether they are pointing it out to do with this unconscious bias, or whether they're just pointing it out to do with the transgender issue. Because of course we now have feminists essentially on the same side as nationalists, pointing out that there is a biological difference between men and women. I mean, that seems to be the main part of this that is gaining the most publicity, is this idea that we should be putting biological men that wear skirts and wigs in the same category as biological women, and allowing them into their sports, allowing them into their bathrooms, allowing them into their prisons, all of which, of course, puts biological women at risk. And I mean, maybe not so much at risk in sport, in some sports, but in others, they're certainly at risk of injury. And that seems to be the main thing that people are saying. Well, that's crazy. How can this be going on? And I suspect that when the MPs are criticizing this, that's what they're referring to, rather than criticizing this anti-racism training compiled by Dr. Richard Norrie a researcher at the think tank Civitas, the table ranks 137 universities after scouring websites, national and local media and promotional materials for examples of what they call campus wokery. Now, they did this by looking for references to trigger warnings, content warnings, or content notes, white privilege, and anti-racism training, or official anti-racist guidance from universities. So quite a broad range of political correctness, I would call it. I mean, they come out with this term woke or wokery, but it is essentially what used to be called political correctness. The data collection took place in the autumn of last year with 140 universities surveyed, and a factor analysis was undertaken which looked for similar patterns between variables, which is called a factor, largely comprising of the following variables: anonymous reporting, anti-racism training, free speech controversies, official commitments to decolonization, race equality charter membership, transgender-related restrictions on speech, and the presence of trigger warnings. So all of those things put together. And if the university had a higher factor score that matched many of the chosen variables, well, a low or negative factor score meant it matched none or hardly any of the variables. So the higher scores, the higher scoring ones, were supposedly our top universities, Oxford and Cambridge, for promoting ideas which will result in the destruction of all education, basically. That's what decolonization is, removing all the white people from a subject. And considering all of these subjects were first developed by white people, it means you would have to remove them entirely, and you would end up having no subject left. I mean, look at the sciences, look at the classical history, look at classical music. All of these things, computer science, physics, all of these things were developed by white people. If you decolonize those subjects and you remove all the white people, you're not going to be left with a subject, are you? If you say that everybody's ideas on numbers, say, on mathematics, everybody's ideas are all equal, then you've got some groups which never came up with the concept of zero. You've got others that never got further than one, two, or more. And you're going to say that they're all equal. They're all just as useful. They're all just as good as each other. No system of mathematics is better than another. And you're just going to end up wasting time looking at these other systems of mathematics that didn't actually get anywhere, that did never manage to even come across the concept of physics, let alone theoretical physics. And you've got the theoretical side of things, and you have certain people groups that have difficulties with abstract ideas. And we can tell that from the language. If you look at the Zulu language, there are no Zulu words for any abstract ideas. And of course, anything that is theoretical is in the abstract. And that could be the reason why we don't see many black scientists involved in theoretical physics, things that involve theoretical things. And we just assume that everybody is all the same. Everybody is going to find it just as easy to do things. Everybody's got the same mental wear that they are born with, and we're all able to do things. And if any of us are finding it difficult or are unable to do something, it has to be because of racism. Can't be that everybody was not created equal. A staggering 62% of the universities were found to have had references to trigger warnings or content notes designed to alert students to material deemed potentially harmful or worrying. 79 institutions had mentions of white privilege in guidance offered to staff and students or on their website, while 59% were offering training materials or resources on anti-racism online. Kemi Badenoch has said that the teaching of white privilege in schools is illegal, and because it's promoting an idea for which there is no proof for, which is also encouraging division between society, between the oppressed and the oppressors. Obviously, she doesn't go so far as to say, well, there are actually differences within groups. I mean, I don't know how she explains this difference between groups if she isn't going to admit that there is actually biological differences between them. But they try to deny that there are biological differences between them while at the same time saying that it's not white privilege, it's just people that are working harder. But is it really because people are working harder? I mean, if people don't actually have the abilities in the first place to do things because they are biologically different, then it doesn't matter how hard they're going to work, they're still not going to be as good at something as somebody who naturally has the facility for that. And that means they're just going to be more and more resentment, isn't there? You know, they'll put in all these policies, all these programs to increase diversity, but if it doesn't work and some of these people groups don't actually end up with better life outcomes, they're still going to be blaming white people for this. Doesn't matter what programs they put in place, people are always going to be suspicious that discrimination has played a role somewhere. And we can see that because we keep doing these things. We keep having these anti-racist initiatives, laws being brought in. And whenever you survey people and say, do you feel as if there's less discrimination? There's less racism now that we've had a black president in America and now we've got a non-white prime minister in Britain. And everybody says no. It's just as racist now as it's always been. Doesn't matter what programs we put in place, there will always be a suspicion that there is discrimination. The only way you can prevent that is to have homogenous societies of just one people group, like the rest of nature, where different groups of animals live together with their own kind rather than living together all mixed up with all other different kinds. It's only white people that seem to want to do this, to turn our territories multicultural and break up our communities. Of course, there is a suspicion that this is coming down from the establishment, and it's the establishment and the government and the people that control the government that want this to go on. They're the ones that want the multiculturalism because they know that if they need to have the multiculturalism to break up the sense of community amongst Europeans, because otherwise we would be able to build a resistance to this. We would be able to unite around our ethnicity and we would be able to oppose those in government that are encouraging these laws that break us up and weaken our sense of community. Well, Sir John Hayes, MP, a chair of the Common Sense Group of Tories and a former Further Education Minister, said universities were wasting resources on woke nonsense. Universities should be places of light and liberty and learning, but a dark shadow has fallen over too much of higher education. And yes, I would agree with that. And that is part of the problem with this, is that the people on the left are just not exposed to nationalist ideas or the ideas of people that are seen as being on the right. They just seek to demonize anybody that doesn't think the same way as them. They've had no experience of debating with somebody that has a different point of view. As soon as that debate goes into a certain area, they're just going to immediately start screaming about racism and anti-Semitism and homophobia and all these other isms. And they're supposed to be people from university. They're supposed to be the educated people. And they're supposed to understand that in a democracy, you're supposed to hear everybody's point of view and everybody is supposed to be able to have their say. You need to have free speech in a democracy so that the best ideas float to the top and then the best ideas get voted for and then the best people get voted for. That's generally the idea in a democracy. But if you remove the ability for people to discuss subjects and you remove all conversation about certain subjects from universities, then the ideas that get to the top have got there through artificial means. They've got there through silencing anybody that would speak up against them. And that's not a democracy, is it? That's a tyranny. And it begins in these universities. This Sir John Hayes, he said, woke nonsense has replaced scholarship. And too many universities are not only wasting resources, but risk poisoning the minds of generations to come. This report is disturbing. The study found Britain's elite universities were almost twice as likely to promote radical and controversial concepts than lesser-known institutions, which Dr. Norrie slammed as a new moralism that reeks of hypocrisy, especially with many happily taking Chinese money. And I did have to laugh at that. I mean, what are they trying to say here? Are they trying to say that it's the Chinese that are introducing all these politically correct concepts into Europe? The Chinese aren't politically correct. The Chinese have banned young males from playing computer games. They've banned K-pop because they see it as feminizing their young males. And they're very concerned that their males are no longer as masculine as they once were. And they've got these big drives to prevent that from happening. The Chinese certainly aren't politically correct. They're not pushing this idea of transgenderism. They're not pushing the idea that everything should be 50-50 and we should have 50% women in professions that have always been 100% men. They're not trying to get as many women as they can into theoretical physics and lowering the standards so that they can get more women in there. They're doing the opposite of this. So I don't really see how they're tying in these universities taking Chinese money as that's the reason for this. The reason for this comes down from the top. I mean, you could really look back and you could say, well, it was the Enlightenment and it was the overturning of Christian tradition and Christian morality that actually led to this. You have to go back further and look at the whole way that we in the West have begun to look at things and where it started. And I believe that was where it started. It started with this Enlightenment. It's got nothing to do with Chinese investing in the universities. The universities should all be paid for by ourselves. If we had homogeneous nations, we would be happy to pay the money into our universities because it would only be our extended family that were going there to be educated, and it would only be the very best of our people that were going there to be educated, and nobody would mind not paying the money into that. If you've got a university that's filled up with people groups from all over the world, you're not really going to want to be investing in that yourself, are you? You're going to say, well, all these different people groups from around the world, they should be paying their share at the university. And that's when you end up with Chinese money going in to pay the universities, and you end up with a lowering of standards. I think somebody that just got O levels in the 60s probably has the same equivalent of educational standards as somebody that goes to university now in the 2020s. The analysis comes amidst a rise in campus wokery. Alarming examples include Aberdeen University, which issued a trigger warning for Peter Pan because it could be emotionally challenging. I mean, what does it have in Peter Pan? I can't recall what it was. Tinkerbell? Because it's got pirates in it, perhaps? Maybe the pirates are a little bit scary for the people learning about Peter Pan. Is it because of Aunt Wendy? Because she's a traditional female figure? Who knows? Anything that has traditional ideas within it is now attacked. It's all part of this culture of critique, which is basically just critiquing anything Western, white, European, break it all down and then we'll rebuild it. But of course, they don't actually have any ideas of how they're going to rebuild it. And the groups that we are competing against, they love all of this because they understand that it weakens us. So of course, they're going to go along with it as well, aren't they? So you end up with the maladaptive white people going along with it. And you also end up with any representatives of these other people groups that are now within our countries, they all go along with it as well because they understand that all the different people groups are competing against one another for influence, power, and resources. And if they can weaken one of their competitors, they will. The bizarre thing is that we are going along with this. As you say, these are our top universities that are promoting these ideas, which basically just serve to dissolve our sense of community and dissolve our sense of belonging and of being a community, break us down into being individuals and break us down into not all pushing together for the same thing that we want. Instead of looking out for our people group, half of us are looking out for these other people groups without even realizing we're doing it. We're thinking we're doing a good thing, or we're being anti-racist, and we're just helping these other groups get a leg up. But basically what you're doing is, instead of looking out for your group, you're looking out for their group. And if you think that you are the head of a family, and if instead of providing and looking after for your own family. You are giving all your wages to a family up the road and doing all the repairs on their house instead of on your house. It's not going to be long before your family falls apart, is it? And your house falls apart if everything you're doing is for this other group up the road. And that's essentially what this promotion of anti-racism is. It's telling our people group that we should not be looking out for the interests of our people group. We should be diverting all our attention to helping out the other people groups. The University of Chester cautions students reading the Harry Potter books, claiming they can lead to difficult conversations about gender, race, sexuality, class, and identity. And it is really bizarre that the author of Harry Potter, her name has now even been removed from some of these Harry Potter books, because she says that only biological women are women. Only a man with a womb is a womb man. And that's what she says. And because of that, they're literally removing her name from the works that she did. And she's a very, very liberal-minded woman. This is why I'm saying that we're in this bizarre place where you have feminists and people on the extreme left that are now supporting these same policies as people on the so-called right, nationalists. You know, we're on the same page as far as transgenders in sports is concerned, and transgenders claiming that they are actually the opposite gender, all that sort of thing. We're on the same page as these trans-exclusionary radical feminists, as they call themselves. We're on the same page as some of these detransitioners and some of the homosexuals that are against this as well. It's very bizarre, this issue that has actually united a lot of people on the same page. But I still don't think you're going to see people like these trans-exclusionary radical feminists. I still don't think you're going to see them being too friendly towards us, even though we're agreeing on this subject now. Imperial College London encouraged its students and staff to have hard conversations with friends and family who deny white privilege. Again, this idea that white people we were just given everything we have. It's not like we worked very hard for it. It's not like we used to have children running up and down chimneys, diving in between bobbins in the factory, making clothes. It's not like we had workhouses. Not like we had kids going down the mines. All of that didn't really happen. We just had everything that we had today. It was just handed to us on a plate. It wasn't handed to us on a plate. Our ancestors worked really hard for this. And the reason why we have it today is because our ancestors knew that they were a part of a living organism that existed throughout time. And they knew that their reason for living was to improve the conditions for that organism in the future, just like they knew that people in the past had improved living conditions for them. We understood that we were a part of a nation, and what we were doing, what we should be doing, is paying back our ancestors by doing what we can for our descendants. And we understood that back then. That's why we have what we have today. It's not a white privilege. It's not something that we're just gifted. Everything that we have is just gifted to us. You know, we had to work hard for what we have today. The University of Warwick has now banned the term trigger warning, claiming that it could upset students. I guess because it has the word trigger in it, and that is associated with guns. And I guess they want to ban guns in America, so they don't want to use the word trigger warning. It is really ludicrous what's going on here. And to think these are supposed to be gatherings of the most intelligent people in the country, these universities. The bosses at the University of Glasgow also warned archaeology students that their course might involve examining bones and looking at a preserved bog body. And they would be looking at that and they would be saying, well, it's a male body or it's a female body. And I guess that will be upsetting for them because they won't know whether that person actually identified as male or female just from looking at his body. The phrase white privilege describes the inherent advantages possessed by a white person on the basis of their race. That's the reason why we do well in exams, just because we have this privilege and the examiner just awards us top marks simply because we're white, and simply because these other groups are non-white, that's why they get the lower marks. Unconscious bias is when learned stereotypes on race, gender, or sex are made without conscious awareness. That's when people who are completely blind to colour are then accused of having this unconscious bias, and that's where the discrimination happened. Even though you had no knowledge of being discriminating against anyone, and you were doing your best not to discriminate against them, you had this unconscious bias. So even though you're not you don't know you're doing it, you're still a racist if you're white. That's what unconscious bias is. The analysis also discovered that 84% of universities have significant ties to China. As I say, that was this strange link they're trying to put there between China and political correctness. You know, that might even be the government that's trying to distract from the way that they have encouraged all of this by promoting diversity and equality, and they're trying to blame it on China. So it might even be the people that paid for Civitas to do that, to do this study, that are trying to put in this strange link to China. Cambridge, which was declared the wokest university in the country by the study, has received £73 million over 5 years in donations and grants from Chinese sources, including from controversial telecoms firm Huawei, the report claimed. I mean, what are they saying there? Are they saying Huawei is trying to gain information on all these students? I mean, all they have to do is say, well, we're not going to accept money from China. But then that would be a problem, wouldn't it? Because I think 50% of the students that are coming here from overseas are coming from China. The universities would lose half their money, wouldn't they? It's interesting that the universities are actually, I think they had a goal to achieve a certain amount of funding, and it was in 6 years' time, and by foreign students, and they've actually managed to achieve that amount of funding now, 6 years earlier than they thought they would. And that just shows you how many foreign students there are at the universities now and how much of the universities are being funded by their money. A Russell Group spokesperson said, "Our universities are places where free speech and the expression of all ideas and viewpoints is encouraged and protected. There is nothing in this report, which is based on flawed assumptions, to suggest that this is not the case." So it's just flawed assumptions, is it? When we looked at their process of doing this and their process of collecting this, and they looked for specific references to things like white privilege, anti-racism, and then they counted them all up and they said, well, these are the universities that are doing it. I mean, how is that a flawed assumption? Are they casting aspersions on the methodology of Civitas here? I guess they have stopped short of calling Civitas Nazis or white supremacists, but they are claiming that they've made flawed assumptions when we can see the methodology, and the methodology is quite correct here. If they're going to criticise this, they really need to point out where those flaws are, don't they? As I said at the beginning, there's been this response to this. We haven't really got the time to get into it now. But over the weekend, Rishi Sunak supposedly declared a new war on woke by appointing a free speech watchdog. And he said, claims there was going to be more close vetting of the bishops because all the bishops are left-wing, something we talked about a little bit on Friday about the Archbishop Justin Welby and his promotion of left-wing principles. Well, apparently Rishi Sunak has appointed a new free speech czar, something which was supposed to be done by this new bill, this new free speech bill that they're bringing in. Whitehall sources say that the favourite is Arif Ahmed, a Cambridge professor who has spoken out against the cancel culture on campuses. And what is it this Arif Ahmed did? Did he speak out against immigration? Did he speak out in support of nationalism? Did he speak out in support of people being able to talk about racial differences or differences in ethnicity? No, he didn't. Unsurprisingly, Professor Ahmed, a philosophy lecturer at Gonville and Caius College, recently sparked a backlash from students for inviting Helen Joyce, a feminist, to speak about her book Trans, which criticises aspects of trans activism. So he's now known as being anti-woke just because he invited a feminist to talk at the university. I mean, it's good that they want to have somebody that is going to be a free speech czar, which is supposedly going to guarantee free speech at the universities, but they need to be somebody who is really objective and has already shown an ability to understand things from a right point of view and from a left point of view. I would suggest that a perfect person for that position would have been Professor Edward Dutton. That's the sort of person that you want in the position as a free speech czar. You want somebody who is committed to free speech, not just one aspect of it, which here happens to be the trans-exclusionary radical feminists. So they're putting this Professor Ahmed in place. He's going to be the new free speech czar in Britain. And we have Toby Young, who has spoken about this. I mean, this is another thing. Why don't they put Toby Young in there in this position as a free speech czar? Toby Young from the Free Speech Union. He says this is better late than never, but then he points out just how many equality, diversity and inclusion jobs there are. I mean, just at the NHS, there are 800 of these diversity and inclusion officers being paid £40 million. Apparently, there are 10,000 of them in all at a cost of £557 million a year. And he points out that at the Free Speech Union, and he says they might be called the Anti-Woke Coalition, but they have a yearly budget of under £25 million. And this free speech czar is just going to be one man against all of these diversity and inclusion officers. And even if he's good at his job, it's going to be difficult and for him. And I suspect he's not going to be that good at his job, because all he's shown support for is these trans-exclusionary radical feminists. He hasn't shown support for all the other aspects of free speech, such as talking about Islamic terrorism, talking about the problems to do with immigration, talking about historical revisionism, talking about things that went on in the recent past that we're not allowed to talk about. I mean, if they're going to have a free speech czar, they need to have shown support for all these aspects of free speech, not just one. But it is good that Rishi Sunak is paying some attention to this, and it is quite interesting that he has specifically declared a war on woke. But I suspect it'll be rather like his attempts to stop illegal immigration, which basically just paying the French more money to not allow people to leave their country that they want to leave their country. Anyway, we've got a little bit over time here, so I will leave that here. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.